A number of years ago, there was a book that came out, and I won't say the author's name because I honestly don't remember. I think I do, but I don't remember. But it was Who Killed Jesus? And he had written other books, and Who Killed Lincoln, I think, was one of the other ones, and various other things. But there's almost a betrayal of something when he asked that question, because we would have to ask, who was really in charge on that first Good Friday? Now, if we answer in the style of the world, we might say, well, obviously Pontius Pilate. But St. John's Gospel records, and Matthew records, that Pilate was afraid, that Pilate was fearful. Can somebody who's afraid and fearful really say that they are in charge? Who were they afraid of? Well, one might say Caesar, but Caesar wasn't on the scene. So the Sanhedrin, perhaps. But the Sanhedrin had no clue. Maybe the Jews, maybe it was they were being stirred up or whatever, riot action or whatever, calling for it. But riots, really, no one's really in charge of that. They're all guilty, but no one's really in charge of a riot. It's a riot. Or if we have perhaps a little bit more spiritual mindedness, we might say, well, Satan. Satan was underneath all of it, causing Pilate to fear, causing the Sanhedrin to reject our Lord, causing the Jews to reject him, causing all this havoc, causing the riots, causing this, causing that. But I think that's ultimately giving Satan too much authority. Who was in charge? Who was in control? Jesus Christ. St. John makes that abundantly clear. In fact, last night, knowing that his time was near, we heard. And today, knowing that Jesus Christ is in charge, and we heard it. Who are you looking for? I am. Who are you looking for? If you're looking for me, let them go. This is a statement of somebody in authority, somebody in control. See, in St. John's Gospel, there's no agony in the garden because Jesus was in control. And when Peter strikes the ear of Malchus, Jesus is in control. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? As Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate, he's in control. He chooses when to answer and when not to answer. And he answers, if my kingdom were of this world, my attendants would be fighting. But my kingdom is not of this world. And elsewhere, he reminds, for this purpose I came, to testify to the truth. Poor Pontius Pilate didn't understand. Those that are familiar with St. John's Gospel especially would know that when our Lord says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back again, and they ask, how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. And Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. These are bold words of our Lord. In control then, and in control as he's standing before Pilate, proclaiming the truth, testifying to the truth. And Pilate has no clue. What is truth? Jesus is in control as he carries his cross. In the other Gospels, we hear of Simon of Cyrene. We don't hear this in John's Gospel. And he's in control of his emotions. And while there's other explanations for, my God, why have you abandoned me? There's no cry of despair. Rather, he's thinking about his mother. Woman, behold your son. And he's thinking about his disciples and those that will follow the disciples, us. Behold, your mother. I thirst. And he's even in control ultimately of when he dies. We live in a state that, I didn't share this at the previous service, but I find it appropriate at this time. We live in a state that's moving through a medical aid in dying, a nice euphemism for euthanasia. And there's some that say, well, they need to be in control of them when they die. We're not in control as human beings of our death, but our Lord was. And he's in control of our deaths too. That he is in control. Everything is set. If you want to imagine a fine feast, everything is set. Everything's on the table. All the linens are there. Everything's nicely pressed. The iron, the napkins are ironed, and the cups are out, and the dessert spoons and forks are out, and everything is set. Our Lord has made it so. It's all ready, and he knows it. And so who is in control? Jesus. And if that's true, then who killed him? Well, yes. It was Pontius Pilate, the soldiers, because of the cry of the Jewish people. Caiaphas prophesied it would be better for one to die than for the whole nation. In Matthew's gospel, we hear that wonderful word that we do not condemn our Jewish brothers and sisters. They know not what they do. But let his blood be on us and on our children. That Jesus is in control. His life was not taken. It was given. He gave his life on the cross. This morning I ran across something that I had never read before. And it's, how many drops of blood did Jesus bleed? Jesus revealed through a mystic, to a mystic. We're not obligated as Catholics to believe this, but I find it interesting. 23,480 drops of blood. He was in control. And in that document that apparently is sealed in a silver case kept at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, lists every blow, every thorn, every prick of the thorn, every whip, every strike. He's not taken. He gives. As we gather this day, we call to mind that first Good Friday. Our Lord gave his life for us. And all the details, and we could spend hours and hours and hours on each individual passion narrative. That would be unrealistic to do this. But we really ought to, as Catholics, as Christians, pore over the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is year after year why the Church gives us it. To reflect that nothing is recorded here that doesn't have meaning. Why do the authors, the evangelists, spend so much time telling us about the name of the revolutionary? His name is Barabbas. His name is given not just to help us contextualize and put it in history, but the authors are telling us something. Something that our Lord knew and put into place even before, that God allowed, that Jesus Christ knew that this would be the case. As Pilate has the custom of releasing a prisoner, he could have released anyone. And they call for Barabbas, a revolutionary. In the Greek, it's very clear, he deserves death. One of the other passion narratives records he was a murderer. He murdered people. Why Barabbas? Why not the other two that were crucified with Jesus? Dismas and Gismas were just simply described as thieves. Or they would also receive capital punishment as a punishment. They would be put to death as well, because certain crimes rise to rejection of the kingdom, rejection of Rome or whatever. But according to tradition, they weren't murderers. Why weren't they released? Because Barabbas means son of the Father. Jesus Christ is the true Son of the Father. And we rejected him. We called for a substitute, a cheap substitute at that. We called for a murderer to be free. And yet Jesus is in control. And he gives his life. He gives his life for that day for Barabbas. As Barabbas is freed, we have to assume that perhaps he went back to his life of crime. I find myself wondering, did he convert? Did he understand that Jesus took his place? Or did he return to that life of crime and commit further murders? Tradition, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't tell us anything more. Which is part of the reason I think that the authors tell us his name was Barabbas. Jesus does not have his life taken from him. It's given. And why? Because the night before, as he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. That Eucharist that we receive day after day is Jesus Christ given to us. This day, while we do not solemnly celebrate the Eucharistic prayer with the consecration, we're honored, blessed to receive the one who gave his life for us. But first, we need to come to the cross. We need to come to him who gave his life for us. And so we will, in a little bit, have a moment to reflect, to come forward, to venerate the cross, because on the cross is how we are saved. That Jesus Christ gave us the cross, gave us himself, dying, suffering for us. Every drop of blood, 23,480, every single one counted for us. Barabbas is us. Yes, perhaps we're not murderers. We haven't held up any highway or caused commerce to come to a halt. We haven't held anyone at gunpoint or knife point. But we are all sinners. And we so often, too easily, reach for a cheap substitute instead of receiving what our Lord has given, receiving the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness that he gives so freely.